This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Back from the Capitol is our embedded D.C. reporter, Elliot Shore Parks.
What up?
Hey, how you doing, Elliot?
What up, E?
Interesting day yesterday.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
You know, just a quick note. I saw you scrambling around for headphones. You're on the air enough.
I know. I was waiting for you to say this.
You need
literally,
your...
as I was plugging the other ones in, I knew you were going to say this.
You just... Real radio hosts have their own headphones.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Just get yourself a pair of headphones.
Okay.
You're not going to do it, though.
Well, honestly, I have my eye on a pair of nice headphones for the gym, but maybe I can justify the purchase for here.
Get some, because you're a hair guy.
I am a hair guy.
You got to get the in-ear ones, like
See,
Ike and I
you
wear.
Guys do that, and I respect it, but for me, I feel like I need to have these in. But maybe once I did that, I would realize it's not that different.
Yeah. This is the first time I ever did it. I kind of like it.
You like it? Yeah.
I kind of like it.
I feel like you are like a... over the head guy.
So looking, I was.
Nice haircut, by the way.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm
sure
always
YouTubers
wearing the hat.
Agree.
Well, yeah. Yes. Oh, come on. Yeah, I thought about it. As soon as we went on the air, I was like, oh, I'm not wearing a hat. Not wearing a hat today.
As if
here we go.
This guy could get uglier.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I'm sure.
Ooh, boy.
Yep, Jack could tell you. So looking back on yesterday, it's quite an experience for you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you must look back and say, wow, I covered an event at the White House.
Yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of thoughts on it. The first I would say is, I just think... it's cool to have been there. And also, when the Eagles win their next Super Bowl, like, it'll have been cool to gone through this so I can know what to expect the next time and all that. So I think it's a good experience. I also think yesterday ended up being, like, a win for everybody. Like, if you didn't want them to go, guess what? Most of the roster didn't go. If you wanted them to go, they went. Like, the team was there, Lurie and all that. And if you don't care the way and, like, you don't want the whole political thing, then you got to remember they won the Super Bowl. Like, I think... for all of it that it could have been yesterday, I think it probably was the best possible outcome for how it could have gone.
I agree. Because if one or two of them hadn't gone, it would have been a whole thing.
Right.
But the fact that, like, everybody got what they wanted out of it, and we can just move on, and we have the pictures, we have the video, we have funny moments. You know, him bringing up Big Dom and calling him Dominic is funny, you know, is whatever.
Yeah.
It's over. I'm glad that it went the way that it did.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, there's only one more thing for this team. It's the ring ceremony, and that's it. Like, then it's officially on to next year.
Do we know when that is?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they probably do. They haven't told us. We haven't even seen the rings yet.
Oh, no, yeah. It usually debuts on social media when the rings are finished.
Do you think they'll put...
They may not do it until...
No, they don't do it until it's revealed.
Yeah, until they give them out that night.
Because I think the players, like, it's the first time they see
It's the first time they get
them.
To see what they look like.
Do you think they'll put both Lombardis on there?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but not all the players won both Lombardis. Okay. Okay, I'm just saying. Not all players won both Lombardis.
Don't start this, man. Oh, God, you made me explain this.
All right,
every team does this.
So the Patriots put six on there?
Yes.
See, I don't like that, though. Because
that's fine you don't like it, but I'm just saying the Eagles aren't, they're doing what every team
does.
Right. Because it's a representation of the organization. So if you happen to be on a team that won the fifth Super Bowl overall with the organization, to distinguish your ring from the other teams that won Super Bowls, yours have five on it.
But wouldn't the year do that? Like, I get your point. You are right that it's the fifth ring they've won. That is a good point. But I'm just saying, like,
That's a good point, Ike.
It is a good point.
I like that he threw that in there.
Ike just gave me a look that he's never given me before. It was total exasperation.
I think it was a good point, but there's the other way that you can show the uniqueness of the ring compared to others.
Sure.
Is, well, the,
year is on there.
The year, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, it's on there.
Right, so
but,
then.
But let me ask you this.
And then we can get to the top.
Well, just from an aesthetic.
Well, because I think it's a little ridiculous they're bringing both trophies everywhere. Like, it's celebrating one team.
But celebrate the organization.
But you're celebrating the organization.
But no. But they're celebrating the Super Bowl win. They are. They're celebrating the Super Bowl win. Like, look, it's cool they've won two Super Bowls, obviously. But, like, we would make fun of the Cowboys if they brought, like, four trophies, or however many they have, everywhere they won. Like, if they win another Super Bowl and they brought all the trophies everywhere, we'd be like, oh, well, those are, you know, like, I think let the one stand on its own a little bit.
I hear that. But since it's only two, it's okay. I would agree. I don't need to see five Super Bowl trophies at the White House.
Right.
But I don't know if Kansas City brought all of their Super Bowl trophies with them. I don't know that.
Maybe we'll find out. Apparently they might go. So,
I mean, well, you need another team to win who has multiple championships to show it. You don't have to worry about the Cowboys ever doing that.
There you go.
Not anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, there was a Dallas Sucks chant at the
White House, which is also pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So we were talking about this before the show. Were there family members there? Were any of the players allowed to bring family members?
It's hard for me to say because I don't know what all their family members look like. But it did seem like there was a section.
You would know what the wives or significant others look like that are players' wives.
Right.
They don't look like the coaches' wives.
Yeah. It was a lot of coaches. I'll say that. I mean, you know, you look
at
the picture.
That's Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
That seems like that's a whole problem.
Yeah, a whole other thing. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the pictures from yesterday, like in the moment when they first walked out, I thought there was like maybe, you know, 20 or so players. It looked like there was a decent showing. It was really mostly coaches up there. When you look at it, I think there ended up being 32 players of a possible like 80 something. So, I mean, almost less than a fourth. That's not right. Like less than a third
Yeah. It's less than a half.
It's more than a third.
Yes. It's roughly more than a third. Yes. Well, I'm trying to diminish it.
It's definitely more than a third. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And only 8 of 22 starters, I think, were there.
Okay.
Now that was surprising.
So,
five was the offensive line and
it was offensive line, Saquon, and then Cooper and Blankenship.
There definitely were some funny social media moments.
Eli Ricks was there.
Eli Ricks tweeted.
I didn't see this until after, by the way.
When you
guys said on the air yesterday, Eli really had fun, I was like, I guess. I know what you were talking about.
Eli Ricks' first tweet, Donald Trump daughter is beautiful, man, and then beautiful damn. And then following it up with, by the way, she is married. After seeing her in person, Ivanka is exactly my type. That is a bold tweet, my friend.
Here's the funniest thing. Like, I haven't looked at the timestamp, but based off the fact you guys knew.
And it was while they were there.
Yeah, they're in the White House. Yeah. Like, if I was Eli, I might have waited till I'm,
I would have waited on
outside
that
the grounds to maybe tweet that one out. Yeah.
He was excited, though.
He was.
He took a picture of the him right next to the bloody picture. And then there was Mekhi Becton. Came fully decked out with his giant big ticket chain
in the White House.
Yeah.
I think him and Britton Covey were the only former players that showed up.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
No, and soon to be Dallas Goedert, maybe. And then you didn't get to ask any questions, so you didn't get to ask your tush push question, but
Neither did Tim.
He did. Yes, Tim did not either. But Trump did comment on the tush push.
Awesome.
Wow.
Here's what he said.
The Eagles scored a touchdown on their signature play, the tush push. Do you know what that is? Or is some, I hope they keep that play, Coach. I don't know. But, you know, they're
definitely playing to his crowd.
Getting rid of that play, I understand. They should keep it. What do you think, Saquon?
There you go. So,
how long did he have to study all this before going out there?
Well, there's no way he. I mean, that's why I'm laughing about it.
Yeah.
He has no idea what the hell a tush push is.
Yeah.
Right. Although he did have a section in there about Jalen.
Yes. Yeah, it was very complimentary.
Yeah, well, no, it was. But like when he talked about different players, you know, it was like, oh, and Saquon Barkley, and here he is. I think he was very aware prior that Jalen was not there. Like, he didn't turn around and look for Jalen, is what I'm saying.
Right, because he's asking, where's the quarterback?
Right.
They probably told him. I wonder if in his notes he knew that.
Well, he saw the game.
Yes.
Wasn't he at the game?
He was at the game. Yeah,
he was at the game.
He mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah, he knows what Jalen looks like.
Actually, because
well, they were behind him though.
No, I know. I'm saying that he knows that he's not there.
Not there. Right.
At the Super Bowl. On my way into the thing, I went in the wrong door, and the Secret Service was like, "You need to leave immediately." And
oh,
I had to turn
really?
Around. Yeah.
Oh, would have been so cool if they threw you on the ground.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Who the hell are you?
Yeah. I'm in jail at the Super Bowl doing the pod. Like, yeah.
Well, I don't think you'd be doing the pod if you were in jail.
Yeah, no, you're right. I wouldn't check. You're right. Yeah.
Sounds like
it would have been you stepping in. Yeah, would have been you stepping in.
It sounds like you got tush pushed out of the way by the Secret Service.
Hey, yeah.
You would have been on the celebration pod. Like, Jalen actually wasn't that good.
Yeah, that's not true, Elliot. I did one post-game the little Go Birds podcast. Didn't mention Jalen once the last 2 minutes and said he was fine.
Yeah, that's right. The Ravens win.
Who could forget?
All right. Well, there it goes. It wraps up. The Eagles do their White House visit. Good job, Elliot.
Thank you.
Nice shot in the... What is that called? What is that? What's the, were you in a Rose Garden?
Yeah, the picture online?
Yeah,
I crushed that. Yeah.
Nice suit too.
Thank you, yeah.
Nice.
I don't normally take good photos, so I was very happy with that one.
Well,
Thank you.
You didn't take it. Somebody else took it.
No, I meant like my eyes are closed or whatever, so I was happy.
Well, you had glasses on.
That's why I wear them.
Who took the photo?
Zach Berman of PHLY.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, no wonder it was looking up.
Oh, my God.
Got him! Got him!
Come on.
I love Zach. That was just right there.
That's why nobody likes us right now.
Yeah, this is like I'm not gonna be allowed in the media. How soon is it, you guys?
Well, I don't care if the beat writers like us. They can all.
I care a little bit.
Well, you know what? The difference between you and them is that you make news and they report what they're told.
Okay,
yeah. All right. This is me saying it, not you.
Yeah.
And by the way, I wouldn't be mean to them if they weren't mean to us.
That's a good point.
They started.
How much do you defend us when you're out there?
Yeah.
Trust me, I defend WIP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know you get all of them. You and your guys over there.
Yeah.
WIP.
Yeah. Exactly. This will be a great WIP topic. Interesting.
Shut up.
Yeah. How about this? Every time you tweet, I'm talking to you, a beat writer. Every time you tweet, so and so said on the radio station or something. Out of here.
Yeah.
Out of here. 94.1 WIP.
Yeah,
don't
FM,
add us.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have to write this article to the radio. Blah, 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 blah.
All right.
Yep. Out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Anyway, it was a nice photo.
Moving on.
You can check it out on Instagram at Elliot Shore Parks.
All right. So we.
Toss it a like.
We. All right. Enough.
I mean, it's up over 700.
So, all right. Enough. We were just talking about Dallas Goedert.
Yes.
So. You reported early on, this isn't a gotcha thing. You reported early on they were looking to trade him. Clearly they were looking to trade him. They went in the draft clearly looking to trade him. I was very skeptical that they were going to be able to get anything from him. They end up not getting anything for him. And one of the teams that you had mentioned previously, the Colts, drafted a tight end. They don't seem interested right now. I guess my question now, and we're just looking at the cap thing, is his cap number on the team is 11.5. His cap number, if they cut him before June 1st, is 21. His cap number, if they cut him after June 1st, is 9.5. It does not seem as if there is any gain to not having Dallas Goedert on the team at this point.
Right.
So now they tried, and the other thing that we had mentioned is that if they had wanted to cut him early in free agency and designate him as a post-June 1st cut, at least he has a chance to go make money.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chance for him to go make money
now.
Two
things on that. One, I think both sides are probably a little surprised at the, I don't want to say lack of interest, but like the fact that, I mean, you saw the report, the Eagles are willing to take picks, and well, now we're after the draft, but at the time in next year's draft. Everyone in the league knows Dallas is available. It's not like it's a secret. And I think at this point, the Eagles would probably take whatever they could get, like a fifth round pick for him that, you know, would have contingencies. So I think there's two things at play here as to why he's not traded. One, I understand looking at the cap number, but I think this isn't about the cap number. This is about the cash. This is another cash thing. So I think Dallas, I believe, if he plays out this year, has $14 million in non-guaranteed cash coming his way. Now, obviously, if he's on the Eagles roster, he's going to make that money. Like, they're not going to cut him in week four. So in some ways, it's guaranteed, but it's not fully guaranteed. Now, this ties back to, like, the Chauncey trade, right? Like, when they traded Chauncey, it was, well, they did this because they save a lot of cash. Like, they're saving cash as opposed to cap space. With Goddard, it's not about the cap number. It's about the cash. So why is he not traded? I think because teams don't want to pay him probably what he's looking for. And so now, like after, I mean, almost months of this, right? Like, I guess 2 months, however, like,
He's not going to get traded.
He might, but because what could happen now is the draft just happened. So a team could sit there and go, okay, we wanted to draft a tight end. We didn't get a tight end. Let's reconvene and talk about what we can do at this position. OTAs are happening. Teams could have OTAs and after, you know, 2 weeks on the field of work being like, yeah, our tight ends aren't good enough. So I think he still could get traded, but the door that's starting to creep open is would he stay here at $5 million or $4 million? Like,
but what is his, okay, so his motivation in that case would be, even if he gets cut, he's not guaranteed that money, whether it's on the cap or not.
That's my understanding of
okay.
it, correct.
All right. So he would lose money if he were cut, even though they would have the cap number there.
I think in some ways, and this is maybe a bit of a stretch, but like you could almost look at Goddard as a free agent. Like he is going to play for whoever will pay him the most money for the most part. Now, obviously, there's a trade component to this. So let's say the Chargers say, we'll give you $8 million a year for 3 years, right? That's probably more than the Eagles are willing to pay him, but... like the Chargers will then have to come up with compensation. I just don't think the Eagles are going to look for much compensation. So I think the bigger roadblock to him being traded now is the financial aspect of it and probably him not being valued around the league the way he probably feels he should be.
Yeah, I just think they're a better team with him on the team at this point. Like, you didn't get anything for him. Like,
yeah. Goddard's an interesting player because I agree Goddard is a very good tight end. He made huge plays for them last year. I also think if you remove like the name and just look at like the production, what do you have, 400 yards last year, 450 yards? Yeah. I mean, it was not he's not a massive part of the offense. So if you look at their offseason, I know they didn't draft a tight end, but drafting the tight end for me would have been more about the future than this year. I think this year they're okay with Harrison Bryant, Kylan Granson, Calcaterra, and they'll just piece it together. I mean, you don't think the three of them, they are not the player Goddard, to be clear, but Dallas is not a big part of the offense. He's a big blocker for sure, but
I agree.
They can get a big blocking.
He made some really big plays.
He did
this
for
year.
Sure.
His problem.
Yeah.
His problem is,
but there's only a handful of plays for what it's worth.
His problem is A, staying healthy. B, his role in the offense isn't prominent.
Yep.
So he would almost need to be featured in the offense. So we look at George Kittle's contract he just got yesterday.
Right.
Well, he's the second biggest passing threat in the offense.
Yeah.
He's going to get the ball. And, you know, he may have to even get it more with Christian McCaffrey being older. But other than Brandon Ayuk, who else are they going to get the ball to in San Francisco?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the other, like, the Josh Sweat situation last year, people compare. It's like, well, why not just make it work like Josh did? Well, when Josh came back, he was basically guaranteed to be the starting
edge
rusher.
He's going to be the starter.
He's going to play a ton of snaps. He's going to be on a high-profile team. Yep. He's going to get a chance to earn more money. If I'm Goddard, like, this is my time is now. The only thing that's going to happen for Dallas in a year is he's going to be a year older. That's it. Like, Dallas, who you never know, he's not catching 1,000 yards next year. He just doesn't get enough targets.
I agree. So,
not here. Right.
Not here. Yeah. If he went somewhere else, I think he could do it. Yeah. But with the Eagles, he's not going to do it. So if I'm him, I don't know. I think the only benefit coming back to the Eagles if you're Dallas is, like, you live here already. You're comfortable. You'll have a chance to win. You know the offense. There's not, like, a change of lifestyle. But in terms of upping your value, he's not going to up his value in a year.
I tell you what, I don't know if I want to see him in New York now.
With the Giants, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, the Giants apparently had interest and then lost interest. Now, if you had it initially, you know, you could always circle back.
He'd be a good piece for them. Russ likes to
Russell
throw the
Wilson,
ball
yeah.
to the tight end.
Yeah.
I'm watching these damn Giants. Sneaky.
Well, they're
sneaky.
We were saying on the post draft show, their defensive front is formidable.
Is very good. Mm-hmm.
They have a number one wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They have a good running back. The guy they drafted is a good Singletary, I think his last name is.
They brought him over from Buffalo.
Yeah, good running back.
Mm-hmm.
They have a stable quarterback at least. One would imagine Russell Wilson is at least passable this year.
He's
would
way
be
better
my
than
guess.
What they got last year too.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Their issues the offensive line.
I don't need them getting Dallas Goedert.
And that's the offensive line's been their issue now. last.
And if it's bad, like none of it, the rest of it doesn't really matter.
I agree. But they lost their best offensive lineman three games into the season last year. So, but they could.
I'm just saying, I'm watching them. They're sneaky.
They're not going to be pathetic this year. I think they could be an 8-1
I don't need
team.
To get them Goddard.
Yeah, well, look, they have a good defensive line for sure. And the other thing, not that this I think would like add to their win total, but if we were, let's say they had a radio station in New York that talked about sports, right? Like
barely exists.
That's what I'll. Yeah, exactly.
For about a year ago, they were strong.
Yeah, they've fallen off.
Yeah, they've really fallen off.
Like, I think Goddard's a smart acquisition from them, purely from like a cultural standpoint. Yeah. Too. I mean, he's coming from a winning organization. He's had big playoff games. Yeah. Like, they need guys in that locker room that have like. And now Russell brings that. Russell's won a Super Bowl, but guys that have won. So, yeah, I mean, I think if Dallas stays, he will be happy enough. But like, I think it's probably hard after 2 months of, you know, and Dallas has friends on the team. So, and
or used to.
I think
Maddox is not here anymore.
Yeah, it's true. His boy is not here anymore. But
was Maddox his buddy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you weren't here for all this.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah.
They were roommates for like 6 years.
They lived together for a few
years. Oh, I didn't know that.
Who got married first? Goddard, right? Because one of them got married.
Is Goddard married? Are either of them married?
I think one of them.
I think they
married.
Both have girlfriends, but
okay, maybe that's what it is. The
but they don't live together anymore.
Yeah, they don't live
together anymore. Yeah.
Elliot, we started the show off like I said. I was disappointed in the Eagles' offseason in that they're worse coming up this year. And I, after winning the Super Bowl, I was like, "Let's go get another one, like in for the kill." Blah blah. Like the Eagles are. The roster definitely isn't as good as last year. Are you a little, forget about, I know you're not going to say disappointed. Are you a little surprised, I guess, looking now that the offseason is essentially over? Mm-hmm. They lost a lot of contributors. They didn't really add a for sure contributor. They added some chances. They didn't. Are you a little surprised at the extent to which this offseason has been as extreme as it has
definitely,
been?
Definitely. I am very surprised at the like longest view in the room approach they're using. I thought it would be much more like, you know, we got a chance to win it next year. Let's go. And they will still have a chance to win it. But it is surprising to me that you hear a lot more about 2026 and 2025 when they make these moves. So that's surprising. And I think like disappointed is probably a fair word. I would maybe use like underwhelming more just because they didn't really do anything. Like, I don't think there's not a move they made that I thought, like, why are they doing this? Right? Like, I was fine not paying Josh Sweat, Milton Williams. I was never a huge Chauncey guy. I get that was like the surprise move. So there hasn't been a move where I'm like, what in the world is going on here?
It's just been collectively.
But there also hasn't really been a move where you're like, this is really going to help the team next year. Like, I like Azeez Ojulari. You know, we'll see. I like the Campbell pick, but we'll see. I don't think there's been a move like, now Bryce didn't work out, obviously. But like Bryce Huff and Saquon, you saw those moves and you were like, okay, these guys will be awesome for them next year.
Yeah, you guys
and there hasn't been those moves.
You guys can't see the trees through the forest. I think I said that correctly.
No.
The forest, that's not correctly.
Forest for the trees.
Yeah. That's what I said. Yeah. Forest for the trees. That's what I said.
There's no difference. Like, you're right. I agree with you.
The point that I'm making is they are going to win this year because of their offense. They have a high-powered, star-studded offense. Mm-hmm. Like, telling me that we lost Josh Sweat and Milton Williams and Slay and C.J. Gardner-Johnson is the reason why we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. Had I told you they would be gone, you wouldn't say, well, this is the reason why we're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree.
They were, to me, a product of the system and a collection of talent here. We didn't lose an all-pro end. We didn't lose an all-pro corner. We didn't lose an all-pro defensive tackle. He was a rotational
I agree with you 100%. This is why when everyone keeps going, they've lost so much talent on defense. I just don't agree with that. But
I had a star-studded offense.
But I think both things are true.
Like, had we lost AJ, then I would say no shot to win the Super Bowl.
Well, they might have Abdul Carter if they did that. But,
Well, it just next year is squarely on number one. It just is. Next year is on number
but
one.
Last, but,
the prove it year.
But like last year was also on number no, one. And like you can say it wasn't.
Year.
But
oh
just won the damn Super Bowl. What are you talking about? Prove it.
Proved year. He could play two
what
games.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Prove it year. He just won
of
the Super
it's
Bowl.
It's a prove it year.
Of course it's a prove it year. Everyone
it's not a prove it year.
It's not a prove it year.
You guys see the forest and the trees.
Yes. It's of course a prove it year. It's of course a prove it year. We'll get to it next. We can't do it right.
It's a shame. I actually thought about that before I said it and still said it wrong.
Yeah. The forest for the trees.
I actually thought about it. I was sitting over here listening. And y'all, and I was like, is it forest?
Or when sun loses.
Trees through the forest?
Sometimes you have the trees through the forest. Sometimes you have circus and pomp and stuff.
The one I can never get is like in the dugout one. Or like behind baseball, behind the scenes baseball. Like what do people
inside
say?
Inside baseball. Seltzer's a big inside baseball.
Oh, I know. He says it all the time, and I can never get it.
215-592-9494. It is Tuesdays with Elliot. We'll fight with him about whether Jahad Campbell is an edge or a linebacker next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
They've stayed relevant.
It is Tuesdays recently. With Elliot. They took a dip, and then they came back.
Yeah.
They came back. They got to get rid of Big Justice, though.
Someone say they have risen.
They have risen.
That was a good Easter joke. I saw a lot of that. On
Dynamite Easter joke.
Yeah, a lot of Twitter jokes with that.
Val, my wife and our sister-in-law, Paige, were in...
Happy birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday, Val. Yeah. We're in New Orleans, and they saw a He Has Risen t-shirt.
Yes, I saw this posted.
As well.
Did
they
get it for you?
No.
It's so funny, because I was going to message... they must have been Paige that posted it. Like, you need to get this for Spike.
But I would have worn it. I would have worn it.
I was expecting to see you in it.
So, real quick, and I don't want to do this the whole time, but the idea of... Jalen and prove it year next year. And you saying he proved it last year. You can debate whether he next year's a prove it year for him. I think it is. I think if the defense isn't going to be as good and the team's going to rely on the offense, it's going to rely on him to throw more. He's going to have to take more on his shoulders. There's not going to be as much Saquon. I think it's definitely that next season is on him in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You saying that he proved something last year, he certainly had a great NFC Championship game and a great Super Bowl, but his season did not prove anything.
Well,
to
so
me.
Obviously I disagree with that. So yeah. a couple things. One, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but if you look it up, like he wins a higher percentage of shootouts than most starting quarterbacks, and when he has to throw the ball 35 times or more, they have a better winning record than a lot of other starting quarterbacks. So in terms of him having to prove he can win shootouts,
But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he has to prove he has to win a shootout.
But that is what you're saying. You're saying if the defense isn't good enough, can he carry them to wins consistently? That's what you're saying.
Right.
And I was just about to say, I acknowledge there's a difference having to do it 16 games as opposed to like three times a year, right?
Thank you.
So I agree with you that if he every week has to get this team in the 30s, like that's going to be hard. I do think, though, that is setting a bar that most quarterbacks can't reach, for what it's worth.
Well,
a lot of quarterbacks, when they have to throw the ball 35 times or more...
But see, you're jumping again.
Why?
Nobody's saying he has to throw 35. They're saying...
That's what...
No, what I'm saying is, it's very clear. What I'm saying is, what happened in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl was not him throwing it 35 times. It was him throwing it effectively 24, 25 times. Mm-hmm. There was an extended period of the season this year where he was throwing it 17 times, 18 times, taking a ton of sacks. And you saying him getting into the 30s is not realistic. Let me say, they scored 27 points a game last year. So if you don't think his increased value can mean three more points when the Detroit Lions are scoring more than 30 points a game, the Buffalo Bills are scoring 30 points a game, and the Buffalo Bills far fewer weapons than Jalen has.
I agree.
He absolutely can be worth a quarterback going from 17 passes a game to what he did in the NFC Championship in the Super Bowl can absolutely be worth 3 points a game and absolutely have them win scoring
so,
30 points a game.
I feel like what you're asking him to do, you're also in your thing referencing him doing it. He
twice.
Did it. Correct. But what games this year did they need him to do what you're talking? Now I know you're doing what he doesn't need, right? But like
But they will need next year.
Okay, and we'll see if he can do it there.
Yes, and so he'll have to prove it.
So that is...
So he'll have to prove it. There it is.
No.
Discussion over.
No,
he'll have to prove it. We'll see if he can do it. So he will have proven it.
A prove it year is different.
Right, Jack? Am I wrong? Am I right? He'll have to prove it.
He has stuff he has to prove. That is not a prove it year. He is one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. I think he's number two.
Can he have the year? Can he have the year he had last year and then be as good as people think that they
are? Yes, of course.
There's no way.
Why?
Because you just said their defense is going to be worse.
Well, because Saquon is not going to be as good as he was last year. And the defense is not going to be as good.
We think. I agree they probably won't be. I agree they probably won't be. But
I'd be shocked if they are.
But again, and I know you guys hate when I bring this up, but like the things he did last year, he took care of the football. He was good against the blitz. Mm-hmm. Like those
He was not that good against the blitz.
He was six in the NFL against the blitz.
No. He had when pressured, he
But that's
had,
different than blitzing. It is, just for what it's worth. If you want to talk about
his sack rate when blitzing was like 28th in the NFL, and there are stats now that show that taking sacks is worse than throwing interceptions.
Okay, so last year, Jalen had a passer rating of 115 against the blitz, which was 6th in the NFL.
Yes,
so,
but that is passer rating.
Yes, it
doesn't
right.
count sacks.
It does not count sacks. You're okay. right. But he completed over 70% of his passes. He had like 12 touchdowns to one interception. So what I'm saying is going into next year, if Jalen takes care of the ball, is good against the blitz, those are massive things. So I'm not as concerned or interested in like him proving if he throws it whatever number you want to pick, more times per game. Like, I didn't – last year, their passing offense definitely had stretches where it struggled. I agree with you on that, for sure. But also, every single time they had to pass the ball, they were good at it.
But
like,
I think that is a false – like, that is a false claim.
But
had to pass the
is.
Ball. They're an NFL team. They always have to
but
pass the
like
ball.
But that's like saying to someone, like, can you run a 10-minute mile? It's like, well, only when I have to. Well, it's yeah, that's the only thing. Like, whenever I'm asked to do it, I can do it. Like, what's your saying?
Wait, okay, all right, you want to take races? Do you think that a marathon runner goes into it and says, I only have to run 1 second ahead of the number two guy, or I have to run my best race?
Of course, it's run the best race.
Okay, yeah. So he has to play his best game. It's not about throwing it when he has to. It's about the best version of the Eagles' offense is with him throwing the ball effectively.
Correct, but that same racer, if they win the race by 1 second or by a minute, they still won. So to your point about can like next year with Jalen, can he win a certain way? There's not a way in the NFL we have not seen Jalen win. Like, does that mean he can't do it? Like, we'll see if he can do it over longer stretches. Sure, but honestly, in 2022, he threw the ball a ton, and they made it all the way to the Super Bowl. So we've seen
that was
him
three
do it.
Years ago,
right? But
and
but,
he followed it up by leading the
but,
league in turnovers,
but
and
say,
then for the first four games of last year, leading the league in turnovers, and the team instructed
on.
Him to throw
so,
the ball.
So
less.
Hold on, but when you say like a prove it year, that's implying he hasn't done it.
Right.
What you're asking him to do, you just said
he's
did
done it.
It
before.
He did it in 2022,
yeah.
And
well,
I,
Max Kepler hit 25 home runs in 2022. Do you think Max Kepler is proving that he is a power hitter now?
No,
or do you think this year Max Kepler has to prove what he did 3 years ago?
But it would sound foolish if I came up here and said Max Kepler cannot hit 25 home runs when he's already done it. Now, he might not do it next year, but obviously he
no,
can do it.
No. Obviously, he did it. It doesn't mean he can still do it.
But he's
all right, let me jump
it.
In here a little
okay,
bit.
Sorry.
Let me jump in here a little bit. Because I'm obviously leaning with Elliot on this. I don't think anything he's being asked to do is unattainable. These things he can do. In 2022, he threw the ball 30 times a game for 15 games. 416
is that what it
attempts.
Is?
It was
right,
30, 30 times a game in 2022. He had a completion percentage of 66%, over 66%. More impressively, his average per completion was 8 yards. That was one of the tops in the league that mm-hmm. year, and he only threw 6 interceptions. Now, he's had the average completion be 8 yards or better twice.
And I think last year he had it. So,
I was just about to say right. one of them happened to be last year. So he threw the ball on average 31 times in 2023. So 2 years he's thrown the ball 30 or more times. Last year he threw the ball 24 times a game.
And if we look after the first four games, it was probably lower than
yes.
that.
Yes, but here, you're right, it was.
Yep.
But here's the thing. The key to all this is the turnovers.
Yes.
So it's really him taking care of the football.
Yes, because you would admit that last year when we were talking about him, you would reference 2022 and
yeah.
say, where is that guy?
Yeah.
So the ability for him to do that again, clearly something happened. Whether it's defenses adjusting, whether it's something that happened with him, something happened between 2022 and 2023 that did not allow him to be as effective a player as he was in 2022. His best year, if we're talking about regular season, was by far 2022.
Yeah.
He had a better year in 2022 than he had in 2023. He had a better year in 2022 than he did in 2024.
So I will not fight you in 2023.
But to me, in 23, it was the turnovers.
Yes.
Yes, but that's part of it.
No, I know. But if we think about it, like, one point, Josh Allen led the league in turnovers for like a 3 or 4 year period there.
Yep.
Then he cut the turnovers out. Yep. And he didn't win the MVP.
Sure.
So if we get Jalen to take care of the ball, in other words, I'm saying from a physical standpoint, he has the ability to do it. It's more or less, meaning some guys can't throw the ball as much because they aren't as good.
Right.
His job, his thing is going to be taking care of the football when he has to throw
and
it.
And I would even say coming into this year, people had questions about Josh Allen in a lot of ways. We talked about some people,
they voted him the most overrated player in
football.
So I think that there's,
which is,
you know, like,
ridiculous.
You
but.
Say like there's yeah. something that happened, right? And I know you're not literally saying one thing, but I do think it's a lot of things. Like, so from 2022 to 2023, he went from his his awesome year, right? And then the league adjusts. Like, so CJ Stroud's rookie year. After that, if you would have told me I could pick any quarterback in the NFL to start a team with, I would have made a strong argument for CJ Stroud. Last year, he took a step back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 2023 was a combination of things. One, the Super Bowl hangover is very real.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I do think the league adjusted to the Eagles and they did not adjust well back, and that was in on Jalen. Three, I do think he got way more reckless with the football, and maybe that's because he was, I don't know, like feeling himself coming off 2022. Who knows? But the turnovers became a problem. But last year, you're right, the beginning of the year did not start out good, and that's part of it. But I think you lean too much on like this massive shift to the running game. They had Saquon Barkley in a great running game, and Jalen still had to make a lot of big throws, and he still took care of the football. And as good as Saquon could have been, if Jalen wasn't really good, they would not have won. That's the reality.
We had to make throws against Cincinnati to win that game.
Correct.
And
the issue is also they were up big in a lot of these games. I know, like, it is just true. When you're killing 9 minutes of the fourth quarter, your pass attempts are going to be down. But again,
that's not even that true.
That is what happened. It's literally what happened against Baltimore, and it happened against Pittsburgh.
Elliot, if I'm making too much of the shift in offense, you're not making enough
of
it.
So it's probably in the middle.
They write stories about their shift at the bye week.
Yes.
Like it is the most famous bye week in Philadelphia Eagles history.
You also only talk about the shift to the running game. Jalen also was much, much smarter with the football afterwards.
But he was, you're saying smarter. He was taking more sacks and he wasn't throwing the ball as much.
Correct.
That's just what happened.
He was throwing the ball less. I agree
with
that.
And taking sacks.
Yes, he was taking sacks. But also, when the ball was being thrown, he was much smarter with it. And so, as awesome as Saquon was, and as awesome as the defense was, I think there is a strong argument to be made. The number one reason the Eagles were as good as they were last year is because they consistently won the turnover battle. And that begins with Jalen not turning the ball
over. Throwing the ball. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you this Mother's Day with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. Can I read the poll?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. You don't even have your own headphones. You're trying to act like the host of this show.
Yeah.
All right. Are you disappointed in the Eagles offseason? 87.6% say no. Go ahead.
I forget what I was going to say.
All right.
No, this was it. I'll look this up. I'd be curious to know where they ranked in passing attempts for the first half in a year. Like last season, where they ranked.
The first half of games.
Yeah, exactly.
First half post bye.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do post bye.
Okay.
I firmly do believe that they threw the ball less in the second half because they were up in these games. Now, other teams were up big too, right? But they had a running game to lean on other teams didn't have.
All right. So let me ask you this about the draft.
Yes.
Just so we can put this Jahad Campbell thing to bed because I need you on the record.
Okay.
All right. So prior to the draft, you nor any of your beat reporter brethren, as they were slobbering over
your guys' friends,
Walter Nolan,
right.
nobody mentioned Jahad Campbell.
Correct.
So they draft Jahad Campbell, and you say, I believe, on your podcast, Go Birds, where you can get wherever you get your podcast, comes out every day, that you believe it was a great pick because they see him as an edge. So my question is, if he ends up primarily being an off-ball linebacker, is it still a great pick?
No. Okay. Unless he's if he's a great player, then you can argue any pick's a great player.
Yeah.
Like, they could have drafted any position in the first round. If the guy's a Pro Bowl player, it's a great pick.
Yep.
But I firmly believe they drafted Jahad Campbell because of his edge potential. I think they believe he can be a good defensive piece and can play linebacker. And I think he will play linebacker next year for a decent amount of snaps. But he would not have been their pick if not for the edge potential that he has.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. And is that a failed evaluation if he doesn't end up playing mostly edge? All right.
Just like with Jordan. Honestly, he doesn't. To me, it's not.
Not if he's Roquan Smith or Fred
if he's
Warner.
A great player. But it's similar to the Jordan Davis pick in the way that when they drafted Jordan Davis, he had to be something that he wasn't in college.
Right.
Campbell in college was not a great edge rusher. They're hoping he can become a great edge rusher.
The other thing that I don't think we've heard much of, I don't know if you heard Mayock on the show yesterday, but we asked Mike about the injury thing. Because
yeah.
he made an interesting, not surprising, but when we first had him on draft time, he said that the deal with injury stuff is every team basically gets the same injury information and you have to decide how much it means to you. And I said Mike had Jihad Campbell going ninth to the Saints. And I said, okay, so he must have slipped because of the injury. Why would the Eagles look at the shoulder thing and think it's not a big deal? And he said the week prior to the draft, there was another knee thing that had gone on. Mm-hmm. Now, he had arthroscopic surgery on his knee in 2023. Apparently, it wasn't that big a deal. But Mayock said that there was another knee thing. Do you have any insight on that knee thing?
I don't have insight on the knee thing. Okay. The only information I know, and this is not from the Eagles, is that, like, I believe Jihad Campbell will be in training camp. And I don't think, look.
What do you mean in training camp?
Like, I think he will be participating in training camp.
So week one of the Eagles season, do you believe Jihad Campbell will be on
barring a setback?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you think he'll be on the active
yes.
roster?
Yes. And so real quick, too, on the injury. So I don't know if you guys talked about this, but Albert Breer wrote about it. Did you see this? He said.
I saw the clip.
Two shoulder injuries and two knee injuries is how he framed it, right?
Right.
And he said, but the Eagles can take that chance because they don't need the pick to hit. I completely disagree with this, like, as a luxury pick. For them to continue to keep being good, this has to hit. Like, you can't just miss on picks because you have talented players on your roster.
Especially when you're banking on the draft to replenish the talent.
So there's a lot of pressure on Jihad Campbell to be good. This is not. If it hits, it hits.
No, it's not.
The window can close quickly when you start missing on your picks.
Wait.
And Jihad Campbell has to hit.
Well,
he does.
I'm with you in a general sense. We all wanting to hit, but you can't tell me somehow if he doesn't hit. Say the medical concerns come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood. We don't want it to be there. But two shoulder injuries, two knee injuries, it's there. What do you think? The Eagles are going to crater because Jihad Campbell is a medical concern and he can't stay on the field?
So, no, I don't think they're going to crater.
Then that's what Albert Breer is talking about.
No. But that, to me, in what Albert Breer is saying, that's like 2025. But the Eagles, to continue to be good.
And they got 30 picks where they can pick another linebacker
next
year.
And they have to hit on these picks is the point I'm making. The talent they have on their roster right now will only take them so far for so long.
That's like saying if they had taken a corner, you're going to tell me they had to hit on that pick or we're in trouble?
That's
not true.
But the biggest asset they had this offseason was this draft pick. The best chance they had to improve the team for next season and for the future was this draft pick. They didn't spend big in free agency.
No, they didn't. That's why they took a position that maybe or maybe not works out. We don't know if
I think it's a very Eagles pick. It's a high risk pick. I think Jihad Campbell is a high risk pick.
Yeah.
And I like that about it. I like taking a big swing, especially that late in the draft. But if that big swing misses, it sets the team back.
It's a low risk. It's only a high risk because he's a first round pick. And it's the second to last pick in the first round. So it's basically a high second round draft pick, which we would agree all these guys basically graded out as second round draft, because you guys aren't franchise changing players. I didn't see a lot of those in the first round of this draft. I just didn't.
And I think Campbell actually could be one of them. Like, I think he is one of the guys that has a high
enough
ceiling.
A franchise changing player.
Yeah, I think
shown himself to be that.
He's
always going to be a nice player.
I think,
but he hasn't been Abdul Carter.
Yeah. I think because of his physical makeup and ignoring the injuries, I'm talking like when he's healthy, his game is a higher ceiling, in my opinion. Because I agree with you, this draft was not filled with special players, right?
Yeah.
Like Mason Taylor, 32 or 31, would have been such an underwhelming pick. Jihad Campbell, to me, has a high ceiling, but also has a very low floor.
It's a luxury pick.
But I don't think you can view it that way.
Keith in Clementon was Jihad Campbell's sixth grade teacher. Keith,
how about
you're on
that?
WIP.
Here we go. Do you like the pick?
Hold on, let me turn you off the speakerphone.
Wow, power move by him.
What's going on, man?
What's up, Keith?
Doing well. Hold on. Sorry.
Okay, first of all, what subject did you teach?
I was a math and science teacher in sixth grade.
Oh, now those are the best classes.
He was a solid A.
Yeah,
B
right.
student.
And yeah. Wait, hold on. He was a what? Say again?
He was a solid A, B student.
Ooh, yeah. We like that.
Yeah, he was smart. He was articulate. He could always, whenever he had a problem to solve, he was really good at it.
Now, when he was like doing math and science, did you feel like he was more of an edge or a linebacker?
True answer would be edge.
Okay.
He probably was the biggest kid in the class, though, right?
He was. No, he wasn't. He was tall, but he wasn't like big.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
It does seem like he has a big personality. Like, and even at just the two times.
I was going to say, how was his personality? Could you tell then?
He has. Like, I think
not
he has,
you. I'm talking to the team.
You don't even know him. Would you shut up, Elliot? Jesus.
Yeah, turn off his mic.
Shut up.
He wasn't shy.
Okay.
We got you. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he had a problem. He went for it. Like he was such a good kid, man.
Okay.
And like when I saw him, I actually had to talk to another teacher. She's like, "Do you know this guy that drafted last night was our student?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, it was John Campbell."
That's amazing. And what school is this?
This is Winslow Township School Number 5. I was a 6th grade math teacher. If he's hearing this. Hello, John. This is Mr. K.
There you go. Awesome.
I lived maybe 10 minutes away from that school.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I lived down in Sicklerville. I lived down in Windham Hill.
Yeah. That's off of Sicklerville Road.
Yep. Down in Sicklerville. Well, Jahad played against Elijah in high school.
He
played against my son in high school.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My son played over there.
Yes, he was. Well, he and the other kid from Boston College.
Oh, Ezeraco.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Keith. All right, Mr. K, rather.
It was good talking to you guys.
All right,
you too, brother.
I'm calling ever one of your college shows, by the way, but I figured I had to today.
Well, we grade you as an A-plus caller today.
Yeah, I love hearing
when he's a solid AB student, like, no joke.
I love it.
Every subject, math and science, and language arts, too.
Wow. Right.
I didn't teach him that stuff, but...
all right, Mr. K. Appreciate you. Don't be a stranger.
I'll have to ask Jahad about this. You remember Mr. K from
good student.
School number 5, whatever the name of that school was.
Winslow.
Yeah.
Winslow School Number 5.
Winslow School Number 5 really rolls off the tongue.
What about Winslow School Number 3?
Yeah, is that on the hoodies?
Well, Timber Creek is a pretty good high school over there.
Yeah?
Is that Winslow? Or is that different?
Well, it's the high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the high school.
Good draft for South Jersey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Like, we got to get Southeastern PA back up.
All right, Elliot. Well, the Go Birds podcast, Go Birds Daily, every single day. You can get in your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Another excellent appearance by you.
Jahad will be a fantastic player, but if he's not,
no worries.
We'll get another one next year.
And he does have a big personality.
Yeah, big personality, AB student, solid AB student.
Love it.
Brian Baldinger joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.